Please be seated. Lord, as we approach now your written word, we ask that you would reveal to us, open our eyes, your living word, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So as well as this being Epiphany, as Anna mentioned, today is the Sunday that we're launching the Year of the Bible here at St. Mary's. At Epiphany, obviously, we recognise the journey of the wise men to find the Messiah, the King. And we could draw all kinds of clever parallels between the way they followed a sign, how they were drawn by prophecies, how they engaged with their present reality to interpret and understand what to do and where to go, and how all of these things pointed to Jesus. We could do that, but it's still early January, so I'm just going to leave that hanging there and we'll move on to something far more cerebral. I turn to Isaiah chapter 60 and the wonderful biblical blessing that we really don't use often enough in churches. If you've got your service sheets with you, if you would like to turn to Isaiah chapter 60 towards the end. May a multitude of camels cover you. What a wonderful blessing that is. Perhaps we can share that with each other during the piece a little bit later. What I actually want to do this morning is to introduce to you what the Year of the Bible is at St. Mary's, why we're going to be doing it, and how it is that we're going to be working our way through it. The Year of the Bible basically is an invitation for us to spend some time this year engaging with the Bible in a more focused, intentional kind of way, about making sure that it's a priority in our lives as a gathering of people committed to following Jesus in this place here in Horsham, of making sure that we, as a group of people who are committed to trying to follow Jesus, will make sure that we're rooted and grounded in the right thing, making sure that we're connected with faith, that we're not all just journeying off on our own direction, but together we're rooting ourselves deeply in the written word that points us to the living word. That's what we're trying to do. That's the headline of the Year of the Bible that we're going for here at St. Mary's this year. I'm a natural reader. I love reading. Ever since I was a small boy, I loved reading. Apparently, my parents used to take the cereal boxes away from me at breakfast because I would just read everything on the cereal box and forget to eat my breakfast. I was a strange child. I'm a natural reader, though. It is something that fills me with joy. I love just having a book in front of me that I haven't read yet, and knowing that I've got all this to read and all that's contained within it, all the words, all the story, all the beauty that lies within it. So I'm already on board with books. But I want to suggest here this morning and talk about what the Bible really is and what its real value is to us, not just to those of us who like reading. Because I'm fully aware that not everyone engages with reading in the same way that I do. See, actually for me, the reason I love the Bible is because I've always been able to find in it some kind of encouragement, no matter where I am in my life, no matter where I am in my journey of faith. We don't talk very often in churches about doubt. We don't often talk about questions that we might have and uncertainties that we might share. We come to church and we look around us and everyone else seems to have all the answers, and we're sometimes a little nervous about bringing up our own questions. But doubts and questions, they're in the Bible. We don't often talk about anger as much as perhaps we should in church, but anger is in the Bible. No matter where I am mentally or spiritually, no matter how good a Christian I'm feeling or how bad a Christian I'm actually being, no matter whether I find it easy to follow God that day or whether it's one of those days where it just seems like the most difficult thing possible, all of that is in the Bible. for me as a follower of Jesus, someone who's trying to work out day by day what it means to follow God, I get so much from the Bible because I look at it and I see within it the story of where I am, where I've come from, of people like me. And so I want to suggest to you this morning, there's three ways that I want to suggest that the Bible is of value for us here. Firstly, the Bible is our story as a church. It's a story of people and where they've been and where they've come from. It's a story of people trying to follow God. Well, that's us, isn't it? It's a story of how people find God in the world around them and how they understand that working out. Well, that's us too. It's a story of how a group of people are given a wonderful and glorious truth that God, the creator of all things, is for them, not against them. It's an account of the stories that people told themselves about where they came from, so they can understand their present and they can look forward to where they're going with insight. It's a story of God's people, chosen and called, from the one man, Abraham, who was called to leave home and go to a land that God promised, told that through him one day the whole world would be blessed. It's the story of how this one man, old man, childless, and his wife, also old, became the parents of a child and parents of a family that grew into a group of people called Israel. It's a story of how they were slaves, of how they were set free by God and led to a promised land. It's a story of how they became enslaved again by the Babylonians and how they were set free again. How they recognized that one day they would be truly set free by a promised king, an anointed one. Someone who would set them free from a slavery, this time not to the powers and politics of the world, but free in a truer, deeper, more permanent way. Free from the behaviors and attitudes and mindsets that had led them into all kinds of behaviors that led them back into slavery. Free from sin, as we put it in the language of church today. Free to be the people that God calls them to be. It's the story of the church. It's our story. It's where we come from as a people. It's how we got to where we are today. And it's what offers us insight of where we go. So firstly, the Bible. I brought along mine here today. This is our story. Secondly, and most importantly, it's God's story. Or rather, it's a story of God and his people. It's a story of how God made people and how they rejected him. How they turned away to their own ways. And it's a story. It's a story of how God continually called his people back to himself. Of how he continually rescued his people. How he freed them from slavery. How he gave them their own land. How he gave them the law to help them to keep their eyes fixed on him. It's a story of how God gave them the prophets to keep them alive to the truth that he spoke. It's a story of how people turned away from God and back into slavery again and again. And it's a story of how God himself steps into human history to heal the relationship with humanity. God incarnate, the Word became flesh and dwelled among them. This is God's story of how he becomes the answer to the broken relationship between himself and his people. So it's our story. It's God's story. And it's your story. Individually, for each one of us, this is us too. It might be a collection of a variety of writings. Middle Eastern creation poetry. A mixture of histories told from varying perspectives. collections of poems, collections of prayers, words of prophecy, words of warning, legal agreements and covenants. It's a whole load of stuff written in languages that you and I will never speak or perhaps read, but this is us, because all of life is there. The beauty and the joy, the pain and the ugliness, the choices that each one of us make, the paths that we choose to tread. This is our story. It's not simply a list of do's or don'ts. It's not primarily a moral code book or a list of prescriptive beliefs. It's not even really a handbook for life that tells you exactly what to do in any given situation. It's your story. It's God speaking to you. It's the place where you can see or read or hear the story of individuals like you and me. People trying to follow God. People trying to work out what it means to be God's people in a world that is broken. Of people trying to live by a good story in a world surrounded by bad stories. It's an account of people who want to live by a better truth. This is your story. At times you'll find yourself writ large in one place, another time somewhere else. One day you'll find it in the victorious accounts of God meeting with his people. And another day you will find yourself in the cries of the person who calls out, my God, why are you so far from saving me? One day you'll find it in the gentle words of poetry. Another time you'll find it in the angry declamations of the prophets. This is your story. It is our story. It is God's story. It is your story. And it is a story that we find ourselves within. And this is why we as a church are committing to this year of the Bible. This is why we're on board with this idea. Because we find ourselves in it. We work out where we're going. We get to work out where we've come from, what our present reality is in its light, and how we move forward. We're invited, in the words of this book, to become people, a people who are fully alive, life in all its fullness. That's what the invitation is. If you want to know what that looks like, if you want to know what God's like, if you want to know who this Jesus is who calls us to live life in a way that is free and full and meaningful, you can find it in there. And that's why we as a church are going to be journeying this year through the Bible. Starting from next Sunday, we're going to work our way through in sermon series, all the way through from Genesis through to Revelation. Some Sundays we will look at one book of the Bible. Some Sundays we'll look at a couple of books together. And other Sundays we'll look at shorter segments of books. But the idea being, not that we can at the end of the year sit back and pat ourselves on the back and go, do you know what, we as a church read the whole Bible, we get a shiny gold star. Because there are no shiny gold stars in church. But because the more we familiarize ourselves with this book, the better we get to see the story, the big story, the links, the hints, the allusions, the echoes, the shadowings, those threads that track throughout this book that was written over 1500 years by a collection of people in completely different contexts. The more we get to grips with that, and the more we see the truth and the life that is God, the more we get to work out where we're going, what it is that we're called to be. It's not going to be a heavy academic theological exposition of every book, hopefully. If we do start doing that, do tell us. It's meant to be an invitation to go deeper collectively. I sometimes think of the Bible as being like an onion. As you peel off one layer, as you get to know it in one way, there's another layer underneath. It doesn't matter how many times you've read the Bible. It doesn't matter how familiar you are with it. There's always more in there. Unlike an onion, I suppose, because an onion will eventually come to the end. But as we journey through the Bible this year, I guarantee that each one of us will find some fresh, new way of looking at God, of seeing the truth that he's revealing to us. But you see, this is just a book at the end of the day. It's just words written down. Any truth and life we find in it comes from God. And that's who we are called to fix our eyes on. That's what we're called to journey towards. This is just something that can help us. And that's what we want to do this year. We want to encourage all of us collectively as a church to journey together, to go deeper, to get into the Word. We've produced a variety of resources to help us together this year. Like I say, we're going to be going through this in sermons on Sunday mornings. Home groups are being encouraged to take part and to follow something called E100. And if you want to pick up a flyer for this, we've got some on the back table. But these are a sort of a list of, I suppose, the top 100 readings that will guide you through the rough outline of the Bible so you can get that big story together. Or if you're willing to do it, we'd love to encourage as many people as possible to commit to reading the whole Bible in a year. And so we've got these printed out again, available at the back, a Bible in 1 year. If you've got the internet, if you've got email, you can sign up to get the set of readings emailed to your account every day. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, you can download an app. It's called The Bible in 1 Year. I think you'll agree it's a very clever title. And that takes you through the readings in very manageable size pieces. So that at the end of the year, you will have read through the whole Bible. Again, not because the words are magical, not because there's some inherent thing about having read the whole Bible, but because we want to know more about this God who invites us to live life free, alive, in relationship with him. We want to know more about this God who invites us to be good news to the people around us. The bishop suggested that we would bless Bibles at the start of the year. Some of you might have heard Guy's invite last week at our United Service of Holy Trinity to bring your Bibles to church with you this morning. I hope that some of you have done that. I would like to extend that invitation. Why not bring your Bible to church every Sunday? It gives you a chance to read a little bit more about our readings, to go a little bit further. We've only got room in our pew sheets to print out the chunks that we're reading. But reading the bits before and after give you the insight into what that passage is about. We haven't got enough Bibles in this building to put one in the pews for every person. But it would be brilliant if we did all start doing this more. It would be brilliant if all of us would collectively commit to trying to go deeper into the Bible. It would be brilliant if we would meet together and challenge each other and ask us those questions. And you will come to sticky questions in the Bible. It's not meant to be an easy book to read. It's, well, it's our story. It's God's story and it's your story. And we all know that within our stories, there's difficult bits. And you'll find them in here too. And when you get to those bits, don't give up. Talk about them. Ask each other questions. Ask one of the leadership team. We're always happy to sit down and chat about God. I like nothing more than sitting down with a coffee and talking about God. So, a challenge for you, for all of us this year, 2017, the year of the Bible. What are you going to do to go deeper into God's Word? What are you going to do this year? Like I say, the bishop would suggest that we bless the Bibles. Like I say, I don't think it's about the book per se. So, whether you've brought a Bible or not, I would like to invite you to stand now. Because it's about us hearing the one who speaks through the word. And I would like to commission all of us this year. So could I invite you to stand with your Bibles if you've got them, with your mobile phones if that's what you read the Bible on, with whatever it is you have with you, or just bring in yourself. And I would like to pray for us. Heavenly Father, this year we ask that you would help us as a church Help us as individuals to go deeper into your word. Reveal to us your living word, your truth, and your life in this book. Give us all encouragement and grace to journey through the Bible together and to find you. Lord, may this year be the year that we go deeper into your word. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, of our Lord, of our Christ, Jesus. Amen.